commence primary ignition.
Welcome back to yet another X-Wing podcast. I'm your host, Pete Lambro, joined this week and every week by Chris Daniel. Chris, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. The Force is strong with me.
Oh, that's good. It's good to hear. What did you do something to get the Force strong? Did you eat somebody? You steal their Force powers?
You know, I cut them up. I took the midichlorians and then Star Wars, the horror movie. And then
Delicious to meet you.
I ate the midichlorians.
Excellent. Joining us also this week, extra special guest who may or may not have eaten someone's midichlorians, we have Christoph Katov Sote. Christoph, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
Fantastic. How you been? Long time no chat. Well, I know. On the podcast, but we've talked in real life.
Yeah. Yes. Plenty of times. Yeah. No, but it's been good. It's been good. You know, living life.
Are you living the dream? Are you living the dream, Kato?
I'm living the dream, man.
Are you prepping for Worlds? Did you purchase your Worlds ticket?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Did that.
Very exciting stuff.
Very exciting.
Yeah, last year you qualified via Nova. This year you're qualified via Store Champ. Is that right?
Yeah. Back in May, it was the first ECG.
1,000 years ago, you just walked in. Dumped everybody. Everyone's like, well, the invite passed down. And K-Tov's like, it doesn't matter if it passes down. I'm coming to fucking number one. Just wrecked all these nerds. Got your invite. Kicked over a table. Punched Mike in the stomach. It was crazy, man. Mike's just trying to run tournaments. Mike. He's a nice guy. I know. Well, Mike. Punched him in the stomach. It's crazy stuff.
So you did it the hardcore way, because ECG usually has at least 20-something people.
That week it was because that was the first store champ from ECG, and I think they had like 32.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Man.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. People forgot that I got it. I think
I forgot.
I think at Nova they were like, oh, so I think I forgot who it was. Oh no, it was actually at Highlander store champs. Walter was actually, because we were in the quote unquote final table, basically whoever won that would win the tournament. And right. He felt bad for winning. He's like, oh man, maybe the invite will pass over to you. I'm like, no, dude, I've had the invite since May. Don't worry about me. I'm fine.
That's funny. That's going to be exciting stuff. You have all your accommodations and everything. Are you prepped? Yes. Yes, me too. I'm also.
Yep. Accommodations, yes, but like actual X-Wing prep, we're still like, I'm still in thinking about stuff.
You're in test mode. Do you know what list or even what faction you're going to fly?
So
we know the faction. Come on.
I mean, it's going to be Resistance.
Mark is listening. If you don't say Resistance, you're out.
But it's just going to be—it's going to be very interesting to see how much Battle of Endor really shakes up the meta.
Oh,
because
man,
I feel like the power creep is going to be—I don't know if you're gonna—we're going to talk about this later on, but like,
yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
But yeah, that's what scares me. I'll leave
that's
it at that.
We actually, spoiler, we'll talk about this in a couple minutes. Chris and I played some casuals and we guessed at very generous cheap points for Jenden and Soontir and played a couple test games.
We're the new beta testers
they're definitely strong pieces, but like very little room for error, basically.
Yeah, literally what he said. Yeah, I don't talk about it now or later.
That's a
short version.
It's just not. It's not like an easy win button, right?
It's absolutely not an easy win button. Yeah. And again, we'll dive into that in a little bit. Just get right. Also keep in mind, whatever we talk about, we're not pro game design boys over here. We're just, you know, yeah. I can talk about the vibes, basically. Mm-hmm. The thing I haven't looked too deeply at that I'm really interested in is the Rebels stuff from Endor, because one of the first images we ever got leaked was that fucking Chad Wedge, the shield upgrade Wedge. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah.
That wedge actually looks insane.
Well, let's read him real quick before we do our Star Wars question of the week. Here he is. Wedge Antilles, I-6. He gets a shield upgrade. So he's basically a T-70. He's a four-hull, three shields. After you perform an attack that hits, gain a focus token. He's got the It's a Trap talent, which allows rerolls on defense. Yep, it rerolls on defense if you're near friends. He's got Predator, which is standard Predator. He can reroll in the bullseye. He has APT. He's got advanced proton torps. And he can also, he can basically double mod the protorps, right? It's after you perform an action, you can spend a single charge to acquire a lock, right? So he gets a one-time double-modded APT, right? It's super good stuff, really strong. The other thing, though, is his action bar is modified from standard T-70s because he has focus into red boost and he has roll into red focus. This is the first time that T-65s have ever gotten a barrel roll into a focus linked action, right?
Yeah.
And then the only caveat is after he boosts, he gets a deplete. So if he does a boost, then, oh well, he gets depleted, which is, that's fine. That's a way to bring back the S foils mechanic without the actual flipping card mechanic, right? Because on T65s, anytime your foils were closed, you were rolling one fewer attack die and ta-da. Does that. And the only thing that gave you was the ability to boost. So now if you do the boost, which you have all the time, you get a deplete.
There's probably shenanigans with that, right? What does Fenrau's ability do? Can he like get rid of like red stuff?
Yes. It's after let's read it. It's after Fenrau attacks, I think. No, it's before he engages. If you have an enemy in your front arc at range one, you can remove a non-lock red token. So actually, yeah. So if Rebel Fenrau's in there, and he's got somebody, if he's getting ready to APT somebody, he can remove a deplete. Yes, he can do that.
Yeah, because I know there was a synergy between that and Bodica, right, with their double tap. So you could do something there too with Wedge. I mean, just right off the bat, that's like pretty.
And that's at two I-6s. That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
But we're going to start, we're going to boop, rewind. We're going back to Star Wars Question of the Week is how we actually start this podcast. Guys, getting me off track with all this Endor news, Worlds news, is ridiculous stuff.
Get on track. Get on.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Get it settled down now. Anyway, so this week's Star Wars Question of the Week, you guys ready?
No.
We're sitting down. Let's do it.
You've all got intelligent phones. You got them smartphones, right? K-Tuff, an iPhone boy or an Android boy?
I'm currently an iPhone boy, but I did do Android for a couple of years, though. I did do Android.
I've slept around.
I like how K-Tuff tried to juggle both. So he's like, oh no, I'm an iPhone guy, but I was I was a cool droid guy too.
In the middle of the road, K-Tuff.
That's right.
All right, the great mediator. So if you could replace the virtual assistant on your iPhone with a droid personality from Star Wars, who would you replace it with?
Oh, this is easy for me.
It's easy for you. What do you got?
Oh, K2, 100%. K2SO. I love that guy. He's so curt and blunt.
He's a little cheeky.
I mean, I would say Chopper's my other favorite, but like he doesn't really talk. But K2 is...
Well, so I was thinking not being able to talk is maybe not a deal breaker because you remember in it's like Empire Strikes Back when Luke is going to go to Dagobah, right? And R2's like fucking whining. You can see the little text output in his little display, like it's translated. So you don't have to. Some people seem to speak Astromech, and like that's fine. But there's translators.
Okay, that's fair. So pretty much all droids are fair game in this.
Right, but it's based on personality, and Chopper is a little murderous.
Yeah, Chopper is definitely murderous. K2 would be perfect because then he would probably just talk shit to me. About like half the questions I ask anyway, so it would be hilarious.
Nice.
You could also, in the same vein, you could do HK-47. It's extra murderous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's actually so good, too. Oh, my God.
He would just call you a meatbag all the time.
He called me a meatbag.
Chris, who do you got? Who's going to be your Siri, your new Siri?
I'm going a different route. I think I would try L3, believe it or not.
Oh, L3 seems good. It's a good choice.
Yeah, like, I think she would be a little fiery in it, like kind of talk back and stuff like that. You know, it's funny. When you first said that, who I immediately thought of was not a droid. But I was like, man.
Yeah, whose consciousness am I going to imprison my fucking phone? Just to lock someone away, Black Mirror style?
Yeah. I was like, man, how cool would it be to have like Babu Frick as your Siri? Oh, my.
Hey, you just want to be like, hey, Babu, when your phone goes, hey.
Exactly. I would be talking to him like, oh my God. Hey, weather snowy. Wah, wah.
Oh my God.
Babu has a soul, Chris. You can't do that to him.
Yeah, you know, he could Siri it up.
I had like the most fucking boring. I want C-3PO in my phone just because he seems very knowledgeable and no funny business.
It's a solid choice. It's a solid yeah, choice. It's,
you know, he gets out there on the field every day, gives 110%. I don't know, just like because like right now I use my phone. I've been really leaning into my phone for like reminders lately. Mm-hmm. Like anytime anybody asks me to do anything, I just forget immediately, right? Just goes yep. in one ear, right out the other, done. But now, like my wife will like mention something that needs to happen, I'll just like pick up my watch mm-hmm. or my phone and I'll be like, hey, mm-hmm. Remind me to this, right? And it just adds it to a list. And then I have it set up so like I have like a widget on my phone home screen. Like takes up like half my screen. It's just a big list of shit I should be doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So every time I open my phone, I'm like, oh yeah, I should do that. And I'll just go do it. Now. It's great. I feel like C-3PO would be on board for that.
What about Hu Yang? Is that how you say Hu Yang?
Oh, that's a good one too.
Oh, the lightsaber droid? Really good.
Ahsoka, right?
Ahsoka, yeah.
Also from Clone Wars.
Also from yeah. Clone Wars. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah.
He's cool. He'd be he's like really a wise good. Ass too. I guess I like the snarky.
No, he's not that. Well, he's a little wise.
Yeah, ass. He's a little wise ass. He's a little, you know.
He was definitely one of the standouts for me in Ahsoka too. So I
can yeah, that Ahsoka like show was firmly in the all right territory.
Oh yeah. God.
Here it we wasn't. Go. It wasn't great. It was but it wasn't good. Bad. That's what I'm saying. What?
No, you give like that sympathy. All right. All right is all right. Good is good. I think it was good. Like extra O's no, in the G-O-O-D.
You're emphasizing. Does good mean great?
Yeah, but you didn't even say good. You said it was all right.
It that's was like all right. It was thing. Fine.
It's like, oh, how's the food? It's all right.
It was all right.
No, it was good. It was good. A great saber scenes. I rewatched the episode with Anakin, like for those saber fight scenes.
I really like that episode.
Yeah, I rewatched those scenes, specific scenes, like so many times.
Okay, I soured on those scenes not for anything that the show did, but because of fucking people online on the fucking internet.
Oh, really?
They were going so – I could not scroll TikTok, my primary pastime. I could not scroll mindlessly on the internet without running into all these fucking people like, oh, my God, like way overreacting to Hayden Christensen being back in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not just back in Star Wars because he already did that with Obi-Wan, but back in Star Wars again. Like, obviously, he's still fine taking the Disney company's money to be in Star Wars, right? Like, what? But they're like, oh my God, Anakin's back. I'm like, Anakin was back two shows ago.
Like, yeah, but it's also about? Like a nice little redemption thing because some people poo-poo on the prequels. So now it was like almost like bringing back.
I'm saying we had that same fucking thing with the Obi-Wan show. This already happened.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Hayden Christensen redemption arc happened already. Like the fandom redemption, like people loving Hayden when he's doing the part happened during Obi-Wan. And now they're like, oh my God, he's back. I'm like, he's already been back.
Yeah, but
relax yourselves.
Back. He was back technically more in evil and badass, but it was evil and then as mostly Vader. And now it was
That flashback with Obi-Wan where they're like talking about stuff. Yeah. Anyway. Also, it felt very like it was real, like Dave Filoni hanging a medal on himself, kind of the World Between Worlds stuff where Dave Filoni's like, look at my characters I made. I love them. Right. Like, I don't know. I didn't love that as much as everyone else loved. It was good.
That's a fair opinion, though. That's a fair opinion.
Oh, stop it, Switzerland. You know you love Ahsoka.
I'm in the middle again.
Listen, I'll have you know.
Android.
At PAX Unplugged, I purchased an Ahsoka t-shirt. All right? In fact, have I told you the story about my daughter and Ahsoka? Chris?
You might have. No, tell it again.
Maybe? I don't know. All right. Kate Toff, I'm sure I haven't told you this story.
No, you haven't.
So Charlotte, my daughter, can read, right? She's a voracious reader. She reads all the time, right? Very cool. Excellent reader. She also really loves to watch TV. So she knows how to put like Disney Plus on to like watch her shows on there. And Disney Plus had the big Ahsoka banner every time you would load up Disney Plus when Ahsoka was starting. It was like, hey, you should watch the Ahsoka show, right? So she says to me one day, because she can recognize it's Star Wars and she knows I like Star Wars. It's basically the only thing she knows about me is I like Star Wars. she says to me one day, she's like, Dad, are you going to watch Ahsoka? Right? She like pronounces it like Ahsoka. Yeah. I go, what? And she goes, are you going to watch on Disney Plus? Are you going to watch Ahsoka? I said, yeah, probably. And she goes, oh, okay. She's like, do you know who that is? I'm like, yeah, it's a Star Wars character from the Clone Wars cartoon. I was like, I like the character. I'm sure I'll watch it. Right. She goes, oh, okay. She has filed that away in her brain as to mean my favorite character is Ahsoka. So my you know, we live really close to Legoland, right? So we do like season passes over there. And like sometimes like after school, my wife will just take the kids over to Legoland for like an hour, right? Just, you know, because literally we live 10 minutes away,
yeah,
right?
Might as well, yeah.
Well, and it's like parking isn't, like everything's included. So it's like free to just go on like a carousel, right? And hang out in the Legoland. So she takes him over there one day and I get this fucking text message from my wife and she's like, here, Charlotte wants you to see this. And it's just like, it's a fucking Ahsoka Lego keychain. and she put in like quotes of the kid. It's like, oh, Dad would really like this. And I'm like, what? I'm like, that's fine. I'm like, I got no beef with Ahsoka, I guess, but she has filed it away. It's my favorite fucking character. We're in Disney World, right, where of course it's fucking loaded with Ahsoka merch, and she's like Dad, and she's like in like a store, she's like pointing to like they have like the Ahsoka like head, like tentacles, but like mouse ears, but it's like the, you know, like the mouse ears, but it's like the Ahsoka head thing. She's like, Dad, look, Ahsoka. And I'm like, oh yeah, great, man. I'm like, that's cool. And she's like, don't you want that? I go, no. She's just like positive, and that's my favorite fucking character. Anyway, so I bought
her. Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know if I have a favorite Star Wars character.
I know, right? I was about to say, you got to nip it in the bud and tell her who it actually is.
I can tell you right now, I put my foot down here. Ahsoka, not my favorite character, right? She's fine. I like Ahsoka, not my favorite ever, right? I'm not some Ahsoka guy over here. And then she's, yeah, so then I
bought her. Who's your favorite?
I don't know. But
he's like, but I know it's not.
I know it's not. Yes, I know it's not.
Top, who would be yours?
Oh man,
God, I'm still so fucking high on Andor. I feel like Cassian might be my favorite.
You know what? No.
It's Cassian. This is Kata. It's Cassian and Ahsoka. Yeah, that's right.
Han and Lando are my favorites, I would say, and then and Finn. And Finn is one of my favorites from the sequel trilogy.
Yep, I like Finn. I like all of the main trilogy from the sequel trilogy. Truthfully, like I think they are all excellent. I feel like BB-8 really great. Iteration on like plucky droid character. Excellent. Yeah. Out there. So I'm at fucking PAX and T-Turtle K-Tuff?
Yeah, I know T-Turtle.
Yeah,
I
have okay. A lot of T-Turtle shirts. It's T-shirts, but they're all like cutesy, right?
Yeah. Right, they're right. Comic-Con like galore, big time.
Yeah, they seem like that kind of place. Yeah. Well, so I fucking I'm at the Sea Turtle booth, and it was like buy two and get, you know, a discount or whatever. So I'm like looking at the choices, and they had this really cute Wally shirt. It's Wally and Eva. And I'm like, well, I need that. Right. And they also had, a shirt with Ahsoka, but it's a very cute, grumpy Ahsoka. And I'm like, well, I need this too. Right. So I bought that. So I bought the shirt, and my wife's like, you understand that this is going to confuse Charlotte even more. Right. She's like, there's going to be she's going to be fucking positive. So I'm wearing the shirt around the house, and she gets home from school one day and she takes a look at it. She goes,
Dad. It's Ahsoka.
Ahsoka. And I go, yeah, man. Sure is. And she's like, wow. Anyway, her little mind, she's just positive that that's my favorite fucking Star Wars character ever.
That's too funny. Maybe you need to make that the truth.
I know. Maybe I just got to lean in. Just become an Ahsoka guy.
That's it. Anyway. I like her. I have an Ahsoka shirt too.
Yeah. Is she your favorite character? I'm telling Charlotte.
Yes, tell her it is. I don't
know. I'd be like, mine Chris's probably, favorite character.
I'd be like, all of Dad's friends are Ahsoka fans too.
I don't know how it would be. It could not be Han, but I'm telling you, I really like Kylo, man. And I think that's also because of freaking X-Wing on top of that, you know?
Well, listen, Adam Driver fucking delivered.
He's so good.
Movies. He's so good.
100%.
Well, and the sequels have the benefit, right, of being able to. Like the being able to like tackle a story of someone like Kylo with the weight and context and history of all of the Star Wars that happened before it, which was like so much Star Wars, right? Like the original trilogy had Darth Vader, who was a great character, right? But it did not have the same like ocean of like knowledge that we have now to draw from to make us understand the character. You could only get away with what was on the screen, and they did a really great job. But then when you are now 30 years later and 30 years worth of like all kinds of Star Wars fiction and books and comics and TV shows and radio dramas and all this shit, right? Like 30 years later, you're able to then say, well, we're going to tell a similar story with Kylo Ren, right? We're going to create a similar character, but you're going to be able to add so much more to it just because of that base foundation that the audience has, you know? Anyway, so, and of course, Adam Driver killed it, right? Like there's that, you know?
Absolutely.
And when I heard how the original arc was sold to him, and then that didn't happen, I was like, ah, that would have been like killer.
We'll stick a pin in that for next time, Chris, because it's time to pivot to X-Wing.
Hey-o.
This is yet another X-Wing podcast, not yet another fucking Nerds Talk About Ahsoka podcast.
Your favorite character, yes.
My favorite character from the movies. She's not even in a movie.
No, she's not.
In fact, fucking...
You're screwed.
Like a quarter of the things she's been in is like... Oh, is bad? I don't know. What has she been in?
TV show.
Whoa, hey.
She was in Star Wars Rebels. Rebels was good.
Rebels was good.
Clone Wars? What the
hell? Clone Wars is like 70% good.
What is he? He's drinking the haterade today. Wow.
All right, well, I'll say with Clone Wars, for me personally, I didn't like it till after season 4. That's my personal
opinion. Yeah, there are some episodes of Clone Wars that I'm like, wow, this is excellent. And there are some episodes of Clone Wars where I'm like, this is miserable to watch. It's like the lows are very low.
Yeah, I fast forward a lot of the
beginning episodes. Yeah, I did not find that with Rebels though. Rebels was like a banger from episode 1. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm in.
Well, they learned from the Clone Wars,
They sure did. Anyway, moving on. The Exquisite Wing, Chris. We played X-Wing, Christopher.
That was the first time that we played X-Wing all year. And I think
we're kidding. Actually, I think it's the first time you and I X-Wing in person in like 6 or 8 months.
Well, it's probably half a year, honestly. Yeah. We haven't played each other in a while, but you're right. I haven't played since Nova, I think.
Live game. So, first time this year, right? Oh, yeah. Happy New Year, K-Toff. We haven't seen each other since.
Happy New Year.
We haven't played in months.
We're very grateful. We had mentioned it last time that the store in northern New Jersey, back in Mahwah, New Jersey, has that same location has opened up again, this time under the name Rogue State Games, which is very confusing for me because Red Seal Gaming, also RSG, initialism. Anyway.
Rogue SG.
We had a chance to meet down there and play some X-Wing, and I had a great time. Did you have a great time?
I like it, man. It's easy to get to. It's spacious. Yep. Everybody's nice. The owners were talking to us for a while.
Such nice guys.
Yeah, and they have food right around the corner. I had some delicious after you left that Korean barbecue spot. I've been there with Peng before. They opened up a side spot just for kind of like fast sandwiches, and they do a bunch of like a Korean barbecue, like chicken, like fried chicken.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I love chicken. I love it when it's fried. I love it in sandwich form. It sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, it was really good.
Sorry I had to run out, but I was glad I was able to come down and play. We played two games.
That's good.
And as I previewed earlier, I did test out new Gendin and new Soontir. And now we erred on the side of like priced to sell points. This is just based on like I saw chatter online talking about how Gendin without the auto evade could come in at 6 points just because he's easier to kill, right?
And I'll admit, like before we actually played, I was yelling at you. I was like, "There's no way he's gonna be 6. You're crazy. He's too strong. He's a defender. No way." But after our game,
after we've played,
after we played, you're right. Like he doesn't have juke. I should say he doesn't have juke.
He's a standard loadout. He doesn't have juke.
Yeah.
And he'll never have it.
The 3-speed, auto evade. He doesn't have that. But he is a killing machine. Like if you notice when things were going right in that first game, you had like a 5 dice proton cannon.
Jesus. Yeah. That's really his one trick. But the other thing is he spends his shields as a resource to do stuff.
Oh, right. That's right. That's right.
Right. So like you've got 4 shields and 3 hull and it's like, okay, well I want to do the thing where I roll more dice at you. Cause I need to punch with this attack. Mm-hmm. You have to sacrifice a health. It's kind of like Ruthless, but on yourself. Right.
Yeah.
So it's tough, right? He can just get murked, right? And also, the defender dial outside of the 4K being white, the defender dial is not great.
No, it's not.
Right? It is like it's a tricky dial
because it'd be too strong.
Yeah, like when I'm like, oh yeah, let me just 3 turn, and it's like, well, I'll be stressed. It's fucking red to do a 3 turn. Like it's insane. 2 turns are white. No, 2 turns are red, 3 turns are white or something like that. Anyway, it's just like not good, right?
Yeah, but you were getting like rerolls with the no escape. I mean, it's definitely handy.
No escape is a cleverly worded talent where if it's a 1v1 situation, you get rerolls.
That's interesting.
Because it's if there are more friendlies 0 to 1. If you're range 1, right? Range 1, 1v1. If there are more friendly 0 to 1 than other enemies, right? So it's the other enemies part that like gets you. And then you're able to get your reroll, right? Soontir fell, though. We played at 4 points, right? New Soontir. Who, again, is really strong, right? But he's got a couple things that make him a more fair feeling, right? First of all, no shield upgrade. So you're at 3, you have 3 hull, that's it, right? You can't upgrade the health at all. No double reposition. And you have to have a shot in order to do the after shooting reposition, right? Yeah, so like the scenario in which you would quote unquote triple repo in a turn, you have to sensitive controls, then you have to move, then you have to spend your only action on the other reposition, then you have to shoot and want to spend one of your only 2 charges for the whole game to do it again, right? So it's not like it's like every turn he's flying across the board because he's double barrel roll boosting, right? Like it's not like that. it's a little less insane. Tons of passive mods though on Soontir, right? Like if he's got the Apex Predator talent, so if he's higher initiative than you, which he's higher initiative than like most things, he gets a reroll.
Yeah, you were being a pain in the butt because Toph, he was like shooting me, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna take a deplete now, and then I'm gonna just barrel roll out of your arc." And I'm like, "Well, screw what a bastard!" Yeah,
it happened twice, which is like again, that's super powerful, right? Like it is a really good strong ability, but it's less of a triple reposition ability and more of a
get out of jail free
get out of jail situation, right? But then the other thing is like. I hit a rock with Suntir and he's just fucking toast, right?
Yeah,
like,
dead, yeah.
Fuck me, dead, right? You're down to one health almost immediately.
It's kind of like making an error with an Edda. Like if you make an error with an Edda, they're dead. You know, so it's almost like the same thing.
Well, except if you make an error with Edda Anakin, who's got R2-D2 on board and can regen.
Or
but you don't have that with Suntir.
Yeah.
You don't have that with Suntir. I feel pretty comfortable saying that if Suntir came in at 5 points, I would almost always play customized Suntir, right? He's got a place. Like this new Suntir, I'd play him at 5 points for sure. But just like the vibes were very much like, I see the power here and I see the power in like in an experienced player's hands is probably going to be really good. Right. So like you get one of these people who's been playing aces forever. They're going to fucking go wild. They're going to love new Suntir. Right. Mm-hmm. But for me, like less intensely focused and skilled at Suntir Fel specifically, at 5 points, I'm like, I'm probably going to go to the comfort of the shield and, shield and ruthless. Right. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. What did you talk about the list you flew, Chris, and how you like it?
Oh, well, I just felt good to fly on the mat number one. But I've been so curious about Rack. Like, it's the damn list that's been winning everywhere. Rack with Ruthless, Vader, Dauntless, the Troopers, Agile Gunner, Baffle. Then the three bombers, SL Deathfire, SL Tomax. And then you have Reimer with Saturation Saliva, Barrage, and Ion Bombs. And then Captain Ferry with Ruthless and Triple Zero. I felt good, but I got to say, I was so used to playing on TTS because I miss playing that. I don't know if you noticed, I literally started standing on the table and then looking down because I just felt like I was like, I don't have a good grip of where things are and what my next move should be. Short people problems. The first game, you just waxed me. And then I think I started getting a better grip, and then you made a couple errors. But the list, I think it's good because it just allows for errors, number one. You know, you have a chunk of health. And number two, if your opponent makes some errors, then they could really be up Schitt's Creek against it. So it's pretty extreme. Like, Tav, you faced against this, right?
So fun fact, I did not. I managed to dodge. I managed to dodge that matchup all packs. But because it was so big and made such a huge impact, I played a couple games with it myself just so I could familiarize myself with it.
Yeah.
Dude, like, I didn't even know what I was doing, like, the first two games, and I was still, like, doing well. Like, when you say, like, it really has a lot of room for error, it really does. Like,
yeah,
it's really good.
It does. It's fucked up. You were on the other side of it. What do you think, Pete?
Oh, my God. Rack is a fucking menace to try and kill, right? Like, okay, to be clear, he's fully killable. Like, it's 100% a thing. You could fully 1,000% kill him. But it's really, really hard to do.
Yep.
And there's just this added layer of things you need to keep in mind where it's like, you know, I normally don't hesitate to take a stress on my ships, but I had to start hesitating to take stress around Rack
because I can't remove the stress. I noticed in the second game, you were right. You were like, oh, I'm going to fuck. You know what I'm
doing? Like, wait a minute.
That's a huge part. That's a pain in the butt. You know?
Death Troopers is so brutal.
Yeah, I've seen other things that I wanted to try. I'm probably not trying before Worlds though, because I just need reps. But I like the Viz in the Reaper. I think I've seen that with the Death Troopers, and I've seen that flown like online. I think that was a pain in the butt. So that's just one option in case you wanted to do some other stuff with Vader, but
yeah, maybe.
But yeah, Death Troopers is tough, man. And then it's like when you finally kill something,
and then Vader crew is strong, but I don't mind it as much, I guess. I don't know why. I felt more like there was play around Vader crew, where it was like, okay, well, if I get out of his firing arc, you can't get me with Vader crew. Or if I, you know, take a green token, I don't mind losing. It doesn't matter if you try to get me a Vader crew. Or also sometimes like health is just a resource, right? Where it's like, I would take a damage on my Vader in order to regen a force I had spent, where I'm like, now I'm better. Like now I have more mods, right?
Yeah. And then also I didn't, what I like to do, and I think what this is what people, why they fly Ferroff a lot and get him up in there, is I like to get him in there and jam whoever you want a Vader crew. That way you have to take the damage. I didn't get to do that really the second game, but I mean, that's a mean combo too on top of that. And it's beefy. And then on top of that, yep. It's like, I've flown against it so much that I feel like on a live game, I've flown against it on TTS. So I should say on a live game, it's like, I already have three bombers that might be having bombs. So let's say I have two bombers that drop those bombs. That's taking time out. And I'm trying to do it fast, but that's taking time out of the game. And on top of that, if my opponent has also system phase things as well, then that's taking more time out of the game, which in turn is taking time away from killing Rack. So then it's like, okay, now there's not enough time to kill Rack. Let me just kill these other guys, which aren't as many points.
I will say this. For anyone out there who feels like you can't get a lot of turns in because you got a lot of bombs on the table, it is possible because Phil, your friend Phil, Chris, and I played a game shortly after the bombers released where each of us had three of the bombers on the table. Oof. And we dropped every device we could.
Oh my god. This is that Hex, right? This is that Hex.
Yeah. Yeah. We dropped so many bombs.
I remember that.
And we still had an incredible pace of play. And it's still and we did not go to time. We won on points. Right?
Yeah, like, that's awesome.
Because we played fast and we played effectively and we knew what we were trying to do, and it is possible to,
yeah, and it also helps
like, to when have you a lot of triggers and keep your game, your pace of play up.
Also helps when you have that, like what you just said, you're playing against someone that when you're on the same page, keeping the pace of play. Number two, someone that's like, okay, do you want me to put this bomb down while I put this bomb down? Like, cause it's closer to me. When you can work together and you have that trust,
yeah,
where you can trust someone to do that. But that doesn't happen all the time. But it's just something to keep an eye out for. It's like, it's a lot of beef.
It is a lot of beef. Yeah.
Beef is strong in so much.
And I know sometimes the decision making portion is the thing that takes a long time. It's like having to think like, is this the right time to drop a bomb? Blah, blah, blah. Like I know that can, you know, take a lot of time, but still it is. I'm just saying it is possible.
Nah, yeah, they should have that. If anything, they should be like, oh, I don't know if I want to turn this or not because it's a bomber. But yeah, I mean, I don't think they should be spending a lot of time on whether I want to drop a bomb or not. Fucking move along. Excuse my
friend. You heard it here first, folks. Move along.
Chris, let him know, Chris. Let him know.
I will say that Sintir. Sintir is full of sin. Sintir. We can make that happen. We'll make that pop. He seems fun, man. You know, were a little pain in the butt, like with that, because you were also like system phase moving. You were right in front of some rocks, and then you had correct me if I'm wrong, you are just barrel rolling, right? Like that when you use the charge, take the delete. That's not an action.
Yeah, it's not an action. Yeah. It's that's why it can be a triple reboot. It's a third. Yeah. It's just the words barrel roll. So you can do it while you're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it. You can just do it. You can do it while you're ionized. Technically, it's not an action.
Now, the thing you weren't interested in was like, you said you were like a have to have Vader. So I was just curious. Like, I think Soontir, maybe Jenden, but Soontir, maybe one more like ace and like a billion bombers. Like that could be, that could be really good. Hear
me, if I am wearing the badge of the Galactic Empire, I am putting Darth fucking Vader on the table. I don't want to hear
it. Yeah, you kind
of have
to.
If I'm flying Empire, I'm putting Vader on the table. That's the end of it for me.
So then what would be, if you didn't use a 4-point bomber, so let's say you have Soontir, Tomax, 6-point Vader, Reimer, unless you want Deathfire. But then you have a 4 points left. What do you put in that 4 points left? Do you put another bomber, or do you mess with maybe like a 4 point interceptor, maybe one of the Inquisitors, or like where do you go with that?
Oh, that's tricky. I don't know if he's good or she's good, but standard loadout. What's her name? Major Reimer.
Reimer
has advanced proton torpedoes, a cool upgrade. Also has automated loaders, which after you perform a primary attack, you can spend a charge to perform a reload action, a white reload action. So you can do that one time. So you get a free reload on your advanced proton torpedoes, has afterburners, and has, when you perform a torpedo attack, if the defender's in your bullseye, you get to change an eyeball to a crit, right? So you get the soft double mod, you get an additional crit. It just seems cool.
Potentially double back-to-back advanced proton torpedoes.
Not back-to-back.
Because
you have to perform a primary attack in between.
So let me rephrase. Back-to-back rounds of advanced proton torpedoes.
Well, so like you would do advanced proton torpedoes. Then the next round, you have to do a primary attack in order to get the free reload action.
Oh, it says primary attack. Damn it.
It's primary attack. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That guy's 4 points? You said that guy's 4 points?
Yeah.
4 points, yeah. It's not bad. And then also, TIE bombers have reload in general. So if you are able to take the stress and take the disarm, you can also reload, right? Like just regular action reload your APTs, right? So I don't know. It seems cool. To be clear, seems cool, but I don't know if it's 4 points worthy. I feel like Reaper is the fucking 4 point choice in Empire.
Yeah, Jonas wasn't bad either.
The Reapers is well, Jonas. Yeah, Jonas is good.
Yeah,
too.
You're leaning into the bomber thing though. If you're doing Jonas, like you got to make sure they both have barrage rockets. You got to make sure they're doing it.
But the Reapers are just so efficient for their cost.
Yeah,
like they just
yep.
Like in scenario play, they're really good. Like they're.
It's just, they could support. Yeah, just, they could, you know, yep, could they do the scenario.
They could do damage.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Reaper heavens. But that could be good. Soontir, Vader, Tomax, another bomber, either Deathfire or whatever, and then a Reaper.
That's what they're saying. So the kids are saying this.
Reap them and weep.
You're going to reap the benefits of playing this Reaper.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be here all day. Whoa.
God, I hope I'm not here all day with you animals.
You think there's any shot that they lower the, like, for example, Reimer and Jonas standard loadouts?
No.
No.
Then there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That was it. Good night.
Well, Chris, I have evidence. I have evidence to back up my no.
Okay.
There was a post on the official Atomic Mass Games Discord server that says, there will be, okay, ready? Here's a clarifying question. There will be no further points changes expected aside from products that have already been announced. Point changes for X-Wing will only include Battle Over Endor stuff, basically.
Oh wow.
Okay. So they are not gonna fuck up the meta like the second before Worlds, which would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't mind that to be honest, but it's all good.
Chaitoff. Let's pivot.
I'm all about the chaos. But go ahead.
I'm in for chaos meta. The chaos meta is where I thrive. It's my home. Talk to me about the resistance.
Oh, about
you like, heard of them? It's the resistance.
Like how they're doing meta wise right now and stuff like
no,
that.
No, talk to me about what you like to fly. Talk to me about what you're thinking about for Worlds. Give me the skinny.
Yeah.
Give me the
Chaitoff
down low.
Well, I've been fussing around with some stuff. Yes. But I mean, I think I'm definitely leaning into some sort of Falcon 5 ship. I tried my hand again at some Poe Falcon, and Poe Falcon is just so much fun to fly.
Oh, God.
But I don't know, especially, like I said, with this huge power creep coming with Battle of Endor, if that'll be.
Why do you think it's going to be that huge? But go ahead.
Because
it's like right now, like that Poe Falcon is struggling in whatever current meta this is. That's the only reason why I say that. And whether it's a huge power creep or a small power creep, it's already struggling in this meta. So, but it's fun to fly. I've been flying that Lando Falcon list for a couple tournaments so far, and that one I'm having a lot of fun with, primarily because there's a lot of Y-Wings in it. So
I've seen you do devastating stuff with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, like those fun list. Like Y-Wing quadruple million action mania. I was like, what's this bull crap?
Yeah, it does some pretty intense stuff. So I think that definitely has legs. And the funny part is that there's not too many people playing it right now. And there are some iterations that people are going with that are actually doing fairly well across the pond. I typically will look up List Fortress and see, or what is it, Metawing, and see how Lando is doing and see if anybody's been like flying any versions of that 5-ship Lando list. And like I said, there's like I saw someone do well with like a 4-ship Lando list with like all T-70s, another 5-ship Lando list that had like a different 4, not all Y-Wings. Mm-hmm. So it definitely, there's definitely something there. So that's probably, that's what I'm more so leaning towards right now. But there's also a plethora of these like 3 T-70 plus two other ships that are just so good too. So
Resistance has options.
Yeah, we have options. We have options. We're in a good spot. We're in a good spot meta wise. I mean, we have the tools to deal with what's out there.
I was just saying this last week on this very podcast, mm-hmm. that from my perspective, Resistance, like where Resistance is right now, is what I think the rest of the game should be balanced around, basically. Like I love hearing from Resistance players, because like I never get the same list twice when I'm talking to a Resistance player. I get very similar archetypes, right? Which to me is fine to have like similar archetypes within faction, but like no two Resistance players are like, oh yeah, this is the one good list. It's right. They're all like, oh, I like this, or I like this, and there's like variety, there's so much variety. And it's just, I think it's great, right? So I feel like that should be the goal for the rest of the game.
And it's the map too, right? That feels kind of cool saying, I got a 100%. T-70 and a Falcon, you know?
And I listen to you guys like all the time. So obviously when I heard what you guys said yesterday, I was like nodding in the car while I was listening to it on the way to work. I'm like, yep, that's, I completely 100,000% agree. Like, I think that the way that, because I can't really speak for, I mean, I've tried to list build in other factions, but like Resistance, yeah, I have to agree, like no two lists are alike, even like down to the LV. Like there's so many different versions of Pava, there's so many different versions of Snap, you know. It's nice to have options.
They've had their time finally. They were poo-pooed on for so long.
Tell me about it. I was there during the dark ages of the Resistance.
Yeah, you and Juan. I remember.
Yeah,
you're a true believer. Stuck a true believer in the Resistance.
Yep.
So you're bouncing all over. Are you, any events coming up that you're going to play at? Are you going to get to test some stuff?
Well, I know Chris, or was it you, Pete, that posted about Joaquin hosting.
I leaked the secret information.
Oh, should I not have said anything?
There's going to be
I wanted to talk about it anyway. So yeah,
I will definitely be there for that, because I'm off that weekend, so I'll definitely I'm gonna try to make that one.
Fifth, is it?
Fourth.
That's Sunday. The fourth. Yeah, Sunday. Fourth? Sunday. First Sunday in February. Yeah.
Sunday.
Come down to B-Strat, everybody.
Yeah.
Support Joaquin the Machine and beat.
And
tough.
Then also, well, I mean, it's not gonna be. This is gonna be post Worlds, but so I guess it doesn't matter. But there's the one in ECG, the end of March, that I want to go to. But like, I just realized that's gonna be post Worlds, so that's not gonna make a difference in terms of Worlds prep, I should say.
There's no after Worlds, X-Wing is done. I'm checking out, man. I'm mentally checking out forever.
ECG is having like events leading up to Worlds, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I unfortunately won't make, be able to make. I know they have one in like towards the end of February-ish, but yeah. I'm not going to be able to make that. That's on my weekend to work, so.
It's all good. You'll be there in spirit. That's
what I counts. Will be there in spirit. Yep. Exactly.
They had a. You wouldn't go to like maybe Chile to play some X-Wing?
Chile? Yeah, sure. Why not? I'll book a flight real quick.
Really? You know? And segue? What?
Chris, Chris, why would he go to Chile to play X-Wing when they already had their Worlds qualifier?
Oh! Tell me more, baby. Tell me more.
I don't know. You're the one who brought this up. Here it is. Got the list. I got the list.
That's freaking. All I know is like Chile's cool, and then like the world's dice popped up like last year at some point in Chile, and now when I see Chile, I'm just like, oh, Chile, wow, Chile. But no, they had. If you go on List Fortress real quick, they had a world's open qualifier with 22 people, and I found some of the lists near the top, like the top three, for example, pretty interesting. At least the top two that were in cut. We're interesting. Congrats to Hernan Diaz. You got to say it with some
congrats.
And then
you're legally allowed to say it with oomph. I am not.
Yes, there you go. And Joaquin the Machine Gonzalez. I didn't know Joaquin went all the way. He left B-Strand.
It's pretty crazy. He left Brooklyn. He changed his name.
His last name. Well, he changed his last name.
Changed his last name.
And then he was like, you know, I'm gonna take second place because I'm mean. I'm awesome.
But although, to be clear, double Desi is something that our local Joaquin would 1000% fly.
Oh, yeah.
So Joaquin the Machine Gonzalez flew Reimer with, oh, look, Reimer with feedback ping, which I just find interesting on these because I'm like, you know what? Ooh. You could have went the saturation saliva route, and no, you went the feedback ping, which is less NPE, negative player experience. And then it's like, it's still pretty good. But Reimer with feedback ping, homing torpedoes, thermal detonators, because it has a thermal detonator, and delayed fuses. And then another bomber with feedback ping, mag pulse warheads, skill bombardier, bomblet generator, delayed fuses. And then the two Desis, baby. Morna Key. Ooh, Morna Key with trick shot. Holy smokes.
That's pretty cool, actually. That's, you don't see that every day.
This is fucking Chad. This is the most Chad behavior. Yeah, fucking trick shot Morna Key.
I love it. Morna
Key. With Vader, agile gunner, concussion bomb. So I guess once she poops, then she keeps pooping. And then all of them have like delayed fuses. Three ships with delayed fuses on top of that. And then Rack with trick shot as well. So that means this dude probably, he might have used large rocks, which is even scarier. But trick shot as well. Minister Tua. Toph, what does Minister Tua do real quick?
Is that the one where you can do an action while even if after you bump? Is that...
No, Minister Tua is when you don't have shields, when you engage, you can do a red reinforce.
Ah, yeah. That's
how much I know about Empire. Shit.
No, that's me. I had to look it up. But I always thought of doing that too, but that's pretty mean. Minister Tua, Death Troopers, Agile Gunner, Thermal Detonators, and Baffle. Came in second place.
Very cool.
What do you think of that list, Pete? That's pretty mean.
I have a couple things to say. Number one, I think it's fucking unbelievable. Chris, I think it is fucking unbelievable that you would throw shade on Hernan Diaz. Skip over the fucking winner here, who won with a gauntlet.
Well, I was actually going like
Bo-Katan gauntlet.
No, I was going like Bo-Katan from lower gauntlet. To higher, you know?
The gauntlet, people talk about the gauntlet. They're like, oh, the gauntlet sucks. And then they say, well, maybe the gauntlet could be good. They go, okay, fine. The gauntlet could be good, but Bo-Katan gauntlet sucks, right? Like, that's the one thing even the gauntlet apologists agree on is the Bo-Katan gauntlet sucks. And yet, the Bo-Katan gauntlet is down south of the fucking equator wrecking everything. Anyway, double Desi is always cool. I've never flown a Desi in real life. Like on a table. I've never put a decimator on the table. I own only one of them, so I'd have to buy another one. I think this is super cool. Minister Tua on Rack is, I think, a solid play. Also, like, I mean, like, a lot of these pieces are just, like, known good pieces. Like, Vader Crew, incredibly good. I question, I mean, far be it for me to question the wisdom of a guy who came second at a world's qualifier when I have come nothing ever at a world's qualifier. But I think you're missing out to use Tomac's, who's basically got the blank ability, versus standard loadout Tomac's, who's just so good. Reimer with this loadout is fine. Like, if this is like the thing you're going for, like, that's fine. But you know, customized Ranger Reimer is fine. Double Desi's is great. I would just swap that Tomac's for standard loadout Tomac's personally.
Yeah, I think he had a. If you look at the biggest difference, it looks like this guy had a plan, you know. And if you have a sound strategy, you could put whatever, mix and match whatever pieces you want. Because I'm thinking like massive trick shot number one, number two, bombs with delay fuses. Number three, he seems like he must have taken advantage of feedback ping, because if the bomb is still out there,
yep.
And as soon as they cross over, that's two rounds potentially that you can get, right? You could top, you could get a yep. free target lock.
Yeah, free target lock. And that, into it. You know,
yep.
It enhances your homing torp options at I-4, like gives you more options to get the homing torps off. Yeah.
I think people forget how good feedback ping was. Back in 2.0, when you could do, I don't know if you guys remember Baron's list that he got top eight at one of the galaxies for, but it was three bombers with, I think, proton, advanced proton torps, prox mines, and feedback ping. And then he had he did the Tavison thing with the sensor buoys.
Yeah, bastard. Dude,
that was insane. You played against that, right?
He took me out with it. Yeah, we had similar lists, and he's just, you know, better.
Feedback ping is insane, actually. And to have someone who can do this with, like, delayed fuses and stuff, like, it's sneaky good.
It's good. Sneaky good. You know what it is people, that takes a little more thought process, number one, and number two.
Yeah.
Saturation salvo, it's so cheap. They're like, let me use that instead.
Yeah.
But I think feedback ping is, it's really underrated.
Solid.
And if you have a sound strategy, like, I would have paid money to see this on stream, to copy this guy's moves, then maybe it's somewhere, who knows? But I think there's a sound strategy there. But as Pete said, a gauntlet with Republic? Talk about that.
Bo-Katan Gauntlet. All right. No looking it up. What does Bo-Katan Gauntlet do?
I don't even know. Lord.
Looks hot when she sits in a chair waiting for Mando to arrive.
Wrong again, idiot. That's New Republic era Bo-Katan. This is fucking Republic Bo-Katan. Old Republic Bo-Katan. Here's the thing. In my mind, I had to look this up. But in my mind, Bo-Katan Gauntlet is famous for having so many fucking words on the card. Okay. After you fully execute a maneuver, step one, fully execute your maneuver, you can gain a deplete token. To choose an object in your front arc at range 1-2, if you do, another friendly ship may perform a target lock action to lock that object.
Oh boy, that is a lot of work.
If you jump through 8 hoops, you can have a free target lock. Meanwhile, over in the Empire, you've got Jendon Defender. It's like, I don't know, go fast, lock something. I don't know, fucking whatever.
So I guess he's a big chip. Well, she's a big chip. She gets in there. And then who was she giving that lock to? Is it? I mean, there's three arcs there. That's a lot of health on that list, by the way. Holy smokes. I'm wondering, like, I'm wondering why is she there? But he came in first. So, I mean, he had to have a sound strategy as well, I guess, right?
That's what they're saying.
That's so fascinating. And that's only four ships? Four ships? One, two, three.
Four. No, it's five. Slider.
Oh, Slider. I see Slider there.
Yeah, but I don't think he's giving Slider. The target lock's coming for somebody, you know. Otherwise, why are you using this girl? Yeah. She has clan training. Just to read out the list for everyone. Bo-Katan has clan training, VTG, veteran tail gunner, contraband cybernetics, Beskar reinforced plating, swivel ring, and gauntlet. And then the rest of the list are the soak, right? The standard loadout oddball. Yep. Wolf and Jag, and then Slider plus Dedicated. So a lot of beef there. I would presume you'd get the gauntlet right in there, you know, to take some hits, maybe use the best car, give someone else maybe oddball a free target lock. I'm not as synergistic. This is when we need Brett or Gary or somebody, because well, you used to fly these, Pete. Like, how does the normal arc kind of, you know, that little domino effect work with the target locks and stuff? I know that works. Like, oh, no, I shot you, I get the target lock. Yeah.
Basically, somebody shoots and they're near Jag, and then Jag gets to target lock. That's basically it. Like, that's the only one. So what you're really trying to do is just beef up your other shots before Jag. So like, Jag is the one who, if he lives, because he's I3, right? If he lives, then he's going to have a great shot, right? So it's like, you have to, so for Jag to get a free target lock, it's somebody in his side arc at 1 to 2, which is like a huge range, right? For friendly ship. They have to attack somebody. And then you can lock the person they attacked, basically. But like, everybody shoots before him, because Oddball is I4. Oddball's I5, Wolf is I4, Bo-Katan's I4, and Slider's I4, right? So like, they all get to shoot first, ask questions later, right? So it's like, yeah. So basically, if any of Jag's friends, and with a large base and two other medium bases and himself being a medium base, right? If any of Jag's friends are nearby and shoot someone that he can later shoot, he'll just get free luck. So like, the common wisdom is like, you got to kill Jag in a list that relies on it, because otherwise his hits are just going to always add up. He's got a third or a tail gunner too, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah, VTG. They
all have it, right? So like, so you get double tap too. Gauntlet. It's a whole fucking thing.
So what's interesting is, it looks like, from after what you said, Bo-Katan is probably the one that he's going to bring right in there. He'll get that. He'll probably... he has to maybe target lock, I guess, and then use clan training before he engages, possibly, to get that focus. Pass the target lock to Oddball. Oddball can do his stuff, and then maybe Wolf gets that reroll.
So now Wolf gets a reroll, but Wolf also has Wolf Pack. So if anybody has a target lock, if Oddball or Jag, right? So if Oddball shoots, okay, Jag takes a target lock because he's near Oddball. Okay. Then Wolf shoots. Wolf can spend Jag's target lock, and then Jag can get another target lock if Wolf is nearby.
Ah, that's it. Okay.
Right. So you can, Wolf has the Wolf Pack ability that says he can spend the locks of other people who have born for this, who is Oddball and Jag. So like, the three of them work really well together for that. Nice. Stuff, so
yeah, that's pretty mean. And Slider in there for 2 points, just saying,
side slip. It's cool. And there's he has no consequence to side slipping. He can just do it anytime he's doing a blue maneuver. He can side slip.
Yeah. Well, he spends 2 charges to side slip, so I guess he has to do the recharge.
He has to do it every other turn. Every other turn.
Yeah. Side slip then. Still pretty damn good, though. These two lists that you don't see all the time that made it to the top, so that's pretty damn cool.
Very strange list, but yes, I'm glad you pulled this up, because I really wanted to shout him out. I mean, we got Scum in third place, but this is also, when we see Scum success, this is kind of what we see, right?
Scum. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah. Look at that. There
OT,
they are.
Dirge, Bosk, Lima, Ed, I guess it's just the best 3 points, and then Fen. You know, it's always good to see them trying hard, though. Yeah, kind of gets boring after that. Well, there's an Aphra-less in there. That's kind of cool. Number 7.
I like Aphra.
I'll tell you guys real quick. Dr. Aphra with Child, Lando, BT1, Babu Frick, OT, Modulators, and Houndstooth. Then Minoru with Cutthroat. Oh, that's a fun list. Gar Saxon, over 2 Modulators, Punishing 1, Lima, and then Cad Bane, Mad Cat. The proton cans, marksmanship, and all this stuff. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Now, Chris, what's it going to take for you to bring Scum to Worlds?
I'm not opposed to that. You know, it would take me to fly maybe the Fangs a couple more, number one. And it's ironic you say that, because I like the lore of, I wouldn't be good at it, but I've flown it and I actually had fun with it. I would love to like wipe the dust off of Boba Fett. Just bring him out there, have like a 3-ship lift, Boba, Fen, and then whoever else you could fit, and then just wreck stuff. Like I flew once Boba Fett with OT and Fenn, and I was like, if there were no scenario tokens, this would be great. But it really like flown right, and I've seen somebody flying on stream, and I was like, if flown right, that is devastating. I've seen it wreck the meta, like meta rebel, like Han stuff. So it's not a far fetch. I wouldn't fly it because I'm not good, but it's not a far fetch.
That's true. You're terrible.
Fun fact, I almost flew a scum at PAX.
That is a fun fact.
Are you talking about flipping, man?
I played a couple of test games with the one list that I had the day before PAX, and I was like, I went 1-1, but I was like, nah, I'm not feeling it. It was struggles. It struggles against FO. So I was like, okay, forget it.
The one that I love that got me, I think, running bitch. Oh, excuse me, Ryan Becker. That he he inspires me to fly certain lists. I love his list. He has Finn Rao. He has Baby Bosk, and then he has two Lats, which is pretty.
No, he has two Lats. YVs.
Two YVs. Pretty cool. Dr. Aphra and Lats, and he's got a nice little crazy.
He's flying the Latin scum. It's a man.
Latin scum. He's at the Chili.
Man, let me, Chris. That tells me it is getting late, and we've hit the end of this podcast. But I had such a great time playing X-Wing with you this week, K-Tuff. I hope we're able to see you soon.
Yes, definitely.
Man, we're getting close. We're getting down to the wire, guys. We got official release date for Endor, didn't we? Did we talk about that last time?
February.
Yeah, we did talk about that last time. It'll be out for Worlds. We're less than a month. We are about 2 months from Worlds. Get excited. I'm excited. Chris?
So exciting.
You excited?
I'm smoking.
Fantastic. K-Tuff. Fabulous to have you, my friend. Can't wait to see you in person sometime soon.
Yes.
Any shout outs you want to make real quick? Anything tip of the tongue?
Shout outs to Switzerland. No, shout outs to Red Seal Gaming as always. Our home store, not to be confused with Rogue State Gaming.
Whoops.
That's it. Shout outs to RSG. Shout outs to the KFC guys always, you know.
Shout out to Keith Wong, man.
Yeah, shout out to Keith.
We love Keith. Chris Daniel, shout outs to you, my friend. Keep on trucking. Can't wait to get some more games in. And when we scrub out of X-Wing Worlds, we're going to play Shatterpoint all weekend at Adepticon.
Shatterpoint. Right? I will play who is your favorite character, Ahsoka. And there we go.
Everybody's favorite character from the movies, Ahsoka. I have been your host, Pete Lambro. This has been yet another Ahsoka podcast. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye bye.
Ahsoka. Burr, burr, burr.